This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Actually, to my delight and surprise, there has been a great deal of bipartisan cooperation thus far.
So we're fiddling here, fiddling with the emotions of the American people, fiddling with the markets, fiddling with our health care. And I want everybody to fully understand, if we aren't able to act tomorrow, it'll be because of our colleagues on the other side continuing to dicker.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Here are some of the items on the Democratic wish list over which they choose to block this legislation. Tax credits for solar energy and wind energy. Provisions to force employers to give special new treatment to big labor. New emission standards for the airlines. Are you kidding me?
Well, you can wish in one hand and crap in the other and see which gets filled first.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
The Biden campaign is, you know, dealing with several things, but they're not quite ready for this moment. I mean, Joe Biden is an old-fashioned handshaking politician. It was clear that they are not ready for the communications required for this.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of it.
Gibberish, pure gibberish.
We can put politics aside and meet the moment like governors all across this nation are doing. Governor Charlie Parker in Massachusetts.
Unchained and unstoppable.
We're seeing the greatest mobilization of the industrial base since World War II.
These companies are coming forth on their own, and I think that's an extraordinary spirit of the American spirit of not needing to be coaxed.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
If you watch too much TV and you watch the wrong channels, you might be thinking that we're in the midst of the black plague of the 21st century, but most people who get this are going to come out of it. They may suffer a few bad days, but they're going to come out of it just fine, ultimately. And joining us now on the line is one of those people, Lara Wolfson. She's a 36-year-old professional photographer from Dorchester. And she was hired to take pictures at the Biogen conference at the Long Wharf Marriott just about a month ago. And that was kind of the ground zero for cases in Massachusetts. And she got sick, but she went to Mount Auburn Hospital, a great hospital. My first two kids were born there, and I know what a good hospital it is. And she's recovered now, and she's joining us on the line. We're waiting for the president's daily briefing to begin, but we wanted to talk to Lara Wolfson. She's good enough to join us. Lara, I'm happy, first of all, that you're recovered now. Do you feel 100% again?
Thank you so much. Yes, I feel back to my old self.
So tell us about, just start wherever you want. I mean, you were taking pictures. And then I read the paper today. You 4 days later, you started to feel a little down.
Yeah. So after photographing the conference, about 4 days after, I experienced a very mild cough. Nothing to really report home about, and something I never would have called a doctor about. But a few days after that, that paired with the news of the conference having 3 confirmed cases, I became a little bit anxious. And about that time, I was starting to feel, just have that sensation, you know, the day before you get sick, when you get a little bit achy and you think to yourself, I'm coming down with something. So those things together, the news article I had read and that symptom made me call my doctor. I thought maybe I was overreacting, but I just wanted to be safe and do the responsible thing. And the way that they reacted, you know, they told me to put on a mask, put on the gloves, and go to the emergency room at Mount Auburn Hospital really took me by surprise.
So your husband was out of town, so it was just you in the house?
That's right. Yeah, I had to walk the dog quickly and grab what I could think to grab. I was just kind of like phone, keys, wallet, and head straight to the emergency room where Mount Auburn had asked me to drive around and meet them by the ambulance bay. They didn't want me going in the normal channels by the other patients. And I, you know, I still wasn't feeling very sick, but I was just listening to what they were telling me. And when I got in there, they took my temperature. I did have a temperature of 101 degrees. And the symptoms got progressively worse from that day on for the next 7 to 10 days. I felt truly awful.
And you were in the hospital for that amount of time?
No. I was just in the emergency room that day, and the rest of the time I spent at home.
Oh, really? Oh, so you just spent, okay, so you were at home with the dog.
I was, yep.
And I was interested in this because you said you took NyQuil and DayQuil. I mean, that's stuff that all of us, or most of us, have. And when I read that this morning, I went to the medicine cabinet and I said, darn, I'm out of DayQuil, but I still got some NyQuil. So that helped you get through it.
Good, yeah. That's on my list of things I recommend to have on hand, some cold medicine, DayQuil and NyQuil. I also recommend having either some Gatorade. Of course, you can drink water, but just something with electrolytes on hand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Lysol or some sort of disinfectant so that you can clean your home coming in and going out. I think the thing that took me by surprise with this virus is just how easily I caught it. You know, I was just having a normal day, wasn't doing anything recklessly, but this virus spread so quickly. I'm 36, I'm healthy, I work out, I eat well, and, you know, this doesn't pick and choose who it comes for. It came for me, and I'm healthy, and I fortunately am healthy and was able to fight this off, but how quickly I got it and how sick I got really makes me think about the vulnerable people in our right. community, like the immunocompromised and the elderly. I could see this being a very bad situation for them.
Well, Lara, we're going to have to cut it short because the president has started speaking, but we really appreciate you being with us, and we're very happy that you share this with us and sort of give us some consolation that we can get through this, even if we are, even if we do contract it. But thank you very much, Lara, and I'm very happy that you're back up at 100%. Thanks for being with us. All right, let's go now to the press conference. The president is speaking. Is his daily briefing on the coronavirus?
Continue to do so until we have defeated the virus. Our public health experts, who are terrific, are studying the variation in the disease across the country, and we will be using data to recommend new protocols to allow local economies to cautiously resume their activity at the appropriate time. We also have a large team working on what the next steps will be once the medical community gives a region the okay, meaning the okay to get going, to get back. Let's go to work. Our country wasn't built to be shut down. This is not a country that was built for this. It was not built to be shut down. My administration continues to work with Democrats and Republicans to reach an agreement on an urgent relief bill for the millions of American workers and small businesses and large businesses that were badly affected by the medical difficulty that we've had. If you had a viable business in January, we are committed to ensuring the same is true in the coming weeks. In fact, we want to make it even better than it was before, and we're doing things to help in that regard. America will again and soon be open for business, very soon, a lot sooner than 3 or 4 months that somebody was suggesting. A lot sooner. We cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. We're not going to let the cure be worse than the problem. At the end of the 15-day period, we'll make a decision as to which way we want to go, where we want to go, the timing. And essentially, we're referring to the timing of the opening, essentially the opening of our country, because we have it pretty well shut down in order to get rid of this invisible enemy. 2 weeks ago, we moved at record speed to pass paid sick leave and paid family medical leave and approved $8 billion, including money for the development of treatments and vaccines, and we're doing tremendous work in both on both fronts. The vaccines are coming along very quickly. Now Congress must demonstrate the same bipartisanship again and join together to pass the Senate bill as written and avoid playing any more partisan games. They have to get together and just stop with the partisan politics. And I think that's happening. I got a call a little while ago. I guess they're getting closer. It should go quickly. And it must go quickly. It's not really a choice. They don't have a choice. They have to make a deal. This should not be a time for political agendas, but rather one for focusing solely and squarely on the needs of the American people. We are going to save American workers, and we're going to save them quickly. And we're going to save our great American companies, both small and large. This was a medical problem. We are not going to let it turn into a long-lasting financial problem. Started out as a purely medical problem, and it's not going to go beyond that. We're just not going to allow that to happen. Our country was at its strongest financial point. We've never had an economy like we had just a few weeks ago, and then it got hit with something that nobody could have ever thought possible. And we are fixing it. We're fixing it quickly. And I want to just thank the American people for what they've been through and what they're doing. Our country will be stronger than ever before, and we fully anticipate that, and it won't be that long. Let me provide you with an update on critical supplies. FEMA is distributing 8 million N95 respirator masks and 13.3 million surgical masks across the country right now.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back to this when we return and talk about those N95 masks. And there's a story about them today and how the Obama administration dropped the ball. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
This is Charlie Parker's. He's doing a jam session as the president conducts his news conference. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeGunWorks.com. Cape Gun has just launched their new virtual classes. Go to CapeGunWorks.com and sign up now. Space is limited. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Are gun shops essential businesses?
Absolutely. No question.
91% say yes.
He keeps going up. Keeps going up. The president has been talking about the drugs are going to be some of these new experimental drugs, or somewhat experimental drugs, that are used to treat malaria cases in the tropics are going to be made available starting tomorrow in New York City. Hydroxychloroquine and then chloroquine, and then other drugs are coming through the pipeline, and he's talking about that. And We're getting a call. I got a text from a pharmacist up in northern Maine. He says it's really hard to get it. He's trying to order some, but they're all this with all the hysteria and the panic. It's very difficult to obtain any supplies of this drug. And he mentioned the president mentioned this Florida man. His story's in the New York Post today about how he claimed he was dying. And he asked for this drug, and the doctor prescribed it. It was given to him intravenously, and he says it saved his life. Grace talked to him this morning. We've been trying to get him all day. I guess he's being deluged with requests. But Grace spoke to him briefly. We're still going to keep trying to get him. Let's go back to the press conference, though, now for a few minutes.
Food and medicine to the elderly. We're truly seeing America at its best. We're really seeing things that people never thought even could happen. Frankly, we never thought this could happen, but the way most Americans are working toward getting it solved and just doing what they have to do to make this go away has been incredible. It's been incredible. I want to take a moment to thank the everyday heroes who are making our vast effort against the virus possible. And thank you to the healthcare workers and the first responders. These are very brave people. Thanks also to the hardworking men and women of Federal Express, UPS, United States Postal Service, and the truckers who are maintaining our supply chains and supply lines. We thank you very much. Great job. We also want to give our regards and thanks to everyone at our grocery stores working the night shift so that shelves can be restocked, and the restaurant workers and delivery drivers keeping our families fed. So many of these restaurants, it's incredible. They're doing service where people come and they pick it up. Delivery, I mean, it's been incredible what they've been doing. Totally different business than they were in, other than they cook food. Other than that, it's like a totally different business. Most of all, I want to thank the American people for rising to the challenge and showing incredible courage, determination, patience, grace, and grit. From New York to Seattle and everywhere in between, your acts of selflessness and sacrifice and ingenuity are a powerful testament to the American character. It's really being shown. It's really showing up at a level that people are really respecting. All over the world, they're respecting. And the world has problems. We're 148 countries now. 148 countries are affected by the invisible scourge. And all of the uplifting reflections of the American spirit are out there for everyone to see. Together, we will care for our fellow citizens, and we will win this war, and we'll win it much sooner than people think. And we'll be back in business as a country pretty soon. You'll be hearing about that also pretty soon. Now I'd like to ask Attorney General Bill Barr to say a few words, and we'll take questions in a little while. Thank you.
We'll go with this to the break.
Let me start by thanking you, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, for your decisive leadership in this unprecedented battle to save American lives. At the Department of Justice, we're working hard to protect the health and safety of our personnel while at the same time keeping our enforcement efforts at full throttle. So I'd like to thank all of my colleagues in law enforcement, not just those at the federal level, but of all our state and local partners, the police officers, the sheriff's deputies who are protecting and serving
their communities. You could cheer us up by indicting Comey and Brennan.
Often at great risk to themselves.
Among others.
What I'd like to do here is start with a few remarks about the order that the president mentioned to ensure the availability of critical medical and health supplies from hoarding and price gouging. On March 18th, the president issued Executive Order 13909, invoking the Defense Production Act, with respect to the health and medical resources needed to respond to the spread of COVID-19, including PPE and ventilators. We have started to see some evidence of potential hoarding and price gouging.
Throw the book at them, and then throw the book at the deep state conspirators. I hope John Durham tests negative, the U.S. attorney from Connecticut. I'm Howie Carr. Have you had enough yet of the volatility of the stock markets? Down 1,000 or more points, 2,000 points today. Up the next. Are you tired of watching that little box at the bottom of your TV screen that shows the market plunging hundreds of points or thousands of points today? You need to get diversified with Orion Metal Exchange. You shouldn't be caught flat-footed in this roller coaster ride that the stock markets have been on the last couple of weeks. No matter what the reason, the coronavirus or the oil price war abroad between Russia and Saudi Arabia, you always need to be diversified. And that means owning some precious metals, gold and silver and platinum. Listen up. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. If you haven't yet taken advantage of their no-obligation guide, it's still not too late. Give them a call today to learn more about gold and silver and other precious metals. Call Orion today at 1-800-912-2300. That's 1-800-912-2300. Call them right now at 1-800-912-2300.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
NBC and CBS are already cut out of the press conference, and they're so we have too, but they're cutting out to spin it. You know, they're putting in their expert commentators. You know, like noted physician Brian Williams, I suppose, will be on, if not on NBC, on MSNBC. Has he seen any bodies floating by in the water on Canal Street? That's the kind of commentators they have. Anyway, 844-500-4242. Democrats block coronavirus rescue to push Pelosi's 1,400-page pork-stuffed bill. 1,400 pages. This is the shovel-ready bill of 2020. You know, it bails out the post office. It extends visas, protects big labor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So 844-500-4242. When he takes questions, we'll go back to it. It's just various people talking. Barr, the attorney general, was basically saying they'll prosecute any hoarders or people who are trying to profiteer, to use that old phrase. Is Grace around? I just wanted to get Grace, because Grace spoke to this guy. We haven't been able to find him. We thought we would, but he's really tied up, and the doctors are all over him.
Hi, Howie.
Hey, you spoke to this guy, Grace, earlier today, Rio Giardiniere. He's 52.
Yes.
And since we haven't been able to get back to him this afternoon with all of the crush of medical and media people that he's been involved in, tell us what he told you this morning when you talked to him.
I said to him, I know that you feel as though that cocktail of drugs may have helped save your life. And he said something, and I'm paraphrasing along the lines of, it didn't, I don't think it helped me. It did. It saved my life. And then I said, would you be willing to talk about it? And he said, yes. I think actually tonight he's going to be on Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity. And I don't really know the timing and all that kind of thing. So I think that's probably why he couldn't come on with us. But when I talked to him, he did sound, I think he's still in the hospital, but he definitely feels a lot better. And I guess the night before, or the night before the doctor prescribed him this mix of pills, the doctor said, we don't know if this isn't all tested yet, and we're not 100% sure. And he said, well, listen, I think I'm going to die tonight if you don't give them to me. And then I read somewhere that a few days later he woke up and felt like nothing had ever happened. So
right.
he does feel as though it was a miraculous type of thing with these pills, that they really worked well.
Yeah,
and another actor, Howie, said it too. The guy from Lost, he's an Asian actor. He was in Lost, and he said that he took these pills as well.
He was in Hawaii 5-0 too, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he said the same thing. Feels amazing. But I guess a lot of these places now, a lot of these pharmacies are running out of
The guy in the hospital pharmacist in Northern Maine texted me, and he said he can't get any of it. He's desperate to get any, but nobody's got any because there's been a run on it, as you might well expect.
Yeah, and Andrew Cuomo said he really wants a lot of these in New York. Obviously, they're getting
well.
Started.
And the president said they're going to have 10,000 doses in New York City as of tomorrow morning, so they can start trying it out. I mean, if Andrew Cuomo says it works, will NBC decide that it's really a worthwhile drug, or it's worthwhile to give it a shot?
They'll probably still say that Trump was giving out false hope.
Right, but Andrew Cuomo is giving out real hope.
They liked hope, Howie, when it was Obama.
Right,
hope was the big word.
The audacity of hope, as I recall.
Little did we know that Trump would really have the audacity to hope.
Yeah, and incidentally, there's another story I wanted to just mention briefly here. The president, in his remarks, was saying they were trying to make more of these N95 respirator masks available. And they're trying to get them out to the various really affected hot spots for coronavirus. And most of the country is not really in bad shape. New York, Washington, the coast, basically. But anyway, this is from the Los Angeles Times and Bloomberg News are both reporting that the national shortage of N95 respirator masks can be traced back to 2009 after the swine flu pandemic, when the Obama administration was advised to replenish a national stockpile but did not do so. You think this will be getting a lot of play on MSNBC and CNN tonight, this story on the network newscast when they cut away from the president's news conference? A federally backed task force and a safety equipment organization both recommended to the Obama administration that the stockpile be replenished to $100 million masks were used after the H1N1 outbreak, according to the LA Times. HHS, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar, reported to Congress last month that only 12 million N95 masks were available in the stockpile, quote, a tiny fraction of the 3.5 billion masks one of Azar's deputies later testified the nation's healthcare system would need. Bloomberg News reported that the Obama administration distributed about three quarters of its inventory and didn't rebuild back the supply. So, you know, I know the Democrat apologists out in the audience are saying how he's engaging again in whataboutism. But, you know, if you're going to blame Trump for everything, you have to be prepared to have the facts sometimes come out and contradict the narrative you're promoting. 844-500-4242. We may have some more sound cuts from Joe Biden's teleconference later on here. We're cutting it up. We just found some more stuff, or we may have found some more stuff. And we're going to go back to the president's room. Oh, we got the whole minute? Okay. You want to just play the whole minute now, Taylor?
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of it. The president must use the Defense Production Act to radically increase the supply of critical goods needed to treat patients and protect our healthcare workers and first responders, including the protective gear like face masks and critical equipment like ventilators so desperately needed in our hospitals. It means working with all our allies and partners to get supplies from overseas when available, dispatching U.S. military assets to retrieve them quickly if they are available. It means federal coordination of the supply chains to accelerate deliveries and get them to the right places at the right time, and much more. And we need to build an arsenal of democracy, and as we did in 1940, we can make a personal productive equipment. Look, here's the deal. We have to do what we did in the 40s and the 20s, the 2020s. And we can do that. We need to build a medical arsenal.
In the 20s? We have to do what we did in the 20s? We'll make some bathtub gin? What does he get the raccoon coats? And dance the Charleston? What were we doing in the 20s? Is everybody going to get in a rumble seat? Joe Biden remembers rumble seats. I personally don't, except what I've read in books, seen on old newsreels. Good Lord. And he thinks that we're going to send the military overseas to get some of these masks? I mean, where were we going to send them? Italy? Spain? Do they have any to spare? What is he talking about? He doesn't know what he's talking about. And if we have to rebuild the arsenal of democracy, it would have been nice if his boss, Barack America, you know, the president of United States America, as he calls it, had replenished the supply of the N95 respirator masks, which were totally depleted. Good Lord. Boy, he's weak, very weak. Charlie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, Howie, I got a question about Governor Packer.
Yes.
Is he going to
Is he going to call our marijuana sales? Is that going to be essential or non-essential?
They now, since they doubled the taxes, Charlie, I am going to guess that marijuana sales will continue to be more than essential. Wouldn't you say?
That'd be a tough sale.
That's going to be one of the few places they're going to be getting any sales taxes right now. Is it the weed emporia? Thanks for the call, Charlie. But that's an excellent question. Is marijuana essential? I believe it is to modern day Massachusetts. Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Peter.
Howie, the whole issue of boots on the ground in Spain and Italy. Whose boots are on the ground right now? It's the Chinese, okay? We should have, the American government should have, you know, people over there.
I don't know what he means by that. But thanks for the call, Peter. TJ, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, TJ.
Hey, Howie, keep up with the good work.
Thank you.
If I remember, didn't Pelosi say at the Obamacare, just sign it, and then we'll read it to see what's in it?
Right. We have to pass it to know what, to, so we can read it and see what's in it. Yes.
Ah, beautiful.
And she said that. She said that this would free people from the agony of job lock. Remember that job lock.
Yeah.
So she's now solving this thing. It's, you know what? She's going to free, if this thing drags on, God only knows how many Americans are going to be freed from the dreaded job lock that she's so worried about.
Now I'm with you thinking Biden's not going to get the get in there for president. I mean, being elected.
How can they? I mean, you know, he's worse by the week. There's a long way to November. There's a long way to July, to Milwaukee, let alone November. He can't make it.
Would they make a deal like him stay for 1 year if he were to win it, with the vice president coming in as some type of deal?
I don't know how you could sell that deal to the American people. You know, I mean, you're voting for one person and you're getting another person. What kind of, there's never been any candidacy like that in the history of the country, has there? Would you vote for somebody like that?
Well, obviously, it's in the back door that they're making the deal. He'd go up on obviously health issues after the first year.
But I mean, how could you vote for a guy? I mean, we would assume that he's going to get worse and worse, and that he will be a total disaster. I mean, he had nobody contradicting him. He didn't even have some reporters fluffing him questions like from CNN or NBC. I mean, and he still couldn't handle it. What's it going to be like when he's on a debate stage with President Trump? He can't. He's not going to be able to perform. They got to get. I hate to say it, but they got to get somebody in there before, don't they?
You would think, and I hope it's not Cuomo.
Okay, Trump's taking questions. We're going to break it right here and take a couple of questions, though. Thanks for the call, TJ.
So it's very bad. It looks like it could be over 50,000. And certainly this is going to be bad, and we're trying to make it so that it's much, much less bad. And that's what we're doing. I think we're doing a very good job of it. If you look at other countries, what they've been through, and you look at the kind of numbers and compare them to ours, which is a much larger country than most, the numbers are pretty amazing. And it started with the fact that we stopped people from coming in from a highly affected area and infected area. And that was a good thing to do. So, yeah, it's bad, and it's going to, obviously, the numbers are going to increase with time, and then they're going to start to decrease. And we're going to be opening our country up for business, because our country was meant to be open and working with others, but especially for our workers. And the engine for that whole system is we have to have companies. And these companies are loved by our workers because they're paying big salaries and big dollars to our workers. And we're going to get it all going again very soon. Hopefully, very, very soon. Please.
Sir, I'm just trying to reconcile the two things that you just said. One, that things are going to be very, very bad. And two, that you want to get the country open back up as quickly as possible. So I guess my question is, if in a week Dr. Birx or Dr. Fauci are telling you we need to continue these measures for the health of the vulnerable populations of the country, are you going to say, I'm sorry, the economy is too important?
Well, you'll see what happens. I understand the question very well. It's a great question, but we can do two things at one time. I will say this. Our country's learned a lot. We've learned about social distancing. We've learned about the hands. We've learned about staying away, at least during the time that this is even a little bit around, this disease or whatever you want to call it, many different names. You can call it many different names, but the virus, while it's around. And we can start thinking about, as an example, parts of our country are very lightly affected, very small numbers. And, you know, you look at
this may be the way to start getting beyond this, because there are huge parts of the country that have suffered not at all. We're going to have to take a break, but we'll come right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Car. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
So they broke their deal in the Senate today, the Democrats, because they wanted to tank the markets and put a thumb in the president's eyes. And they didn't care about the working people who are on the cusp or have already lost their jobs. It's just about playing politics. And Clyburn, the Democrat from South Carolina, said this pork that Pelosi has introduced is a chance to refit things in our vision. In other words, more welfare. More welfare. That's what the Democrats' vision is. Get people back on food stamps. Tank the economy. Depress the animal spirits. And so now you see the what's going to be moving forward. If the president begins to lift some of these restrictions that are choking the economy, they'll say he's jeopardizing the lives of American people, and anyone who dies, he'll be blamed for it. And they'll seek out the weeping relatives. The president killed my 90-year-old great grandma who smoked a pack a day since Herbert Hoover was president. You know, that's what they're going to be saying. That's the way it's going to work. That's the plan. We just have to, get through it. They got to call their bluff. There's nothing else to do. 844-500-4242. Meanwhile, the good news is here, I'm looking at a headline. Gas prices could soon drop to 99 cents a gallon in parts of the Midwest. I saw another headline today. It's already was 98 cents in some parts of Kentucky. So we just got to get through this. One day at a time. One day at a time. Am I right, Governor Charlie Parker? I'm Howie Carr.